This is Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' teachings to the Jews. And we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount because everybody goes there today. And we're going to look at it more perfectly, which is the way the risen Savior has refined it or added just made it more applicable to the Gentiles today. Through Paul, of course, which is perfect, King James Bible. And this is part 16, and we are looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. And I think we have here another gold mine of information on what is going on today. I really will try to... there's no way. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? And we're going to see here that we're looking at the whole concept of take no thought for today. I mean, don't worry about what you're going to get. Don't worry about your food and this kind of a thing. It says take no thought for this stuff. And he'll take care of you. That's what he says. That's the gist of what we're looking at here today. He talks about not having two masters. He says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, God will take care of his people, that kind of a thing. What does Paul say about that? And we see here that this is what so many people think today, that God will just take care of it. And we're going to see here that's not true. And this will be a tough one. This will be a tough one because we still have to keep in the back of our mind that the God of this world is Satan. And we're going to ask ourselves 1,000,000,000 times, well, is that successful adventure we had in life down here, was it from God or was it from Satan? And we've talked about this. Why would not Satan give us something that would keep us from God? Why would not Satan give us something that would lead us towards a false religion? Or why would not Satan allow us something to take care of us if he would keep us in the gospel that was taught to the Jews instead of the Gentiles? I'm just saying that's a possibility. To me, it's a big possibility, but it's a tough one. It's a tough one for people to even consider. So we start off with this 22 and 23, and you notice that either you're going to be light or you're going to be dark. You're not going to play both games here. He wants us very... Look at 1 John chapter 5. He's very clear that in his day, you're going to follow me, you've got to follow me. And if you're not, you're not. If you're going to look at the right stuff, the light stuff, then you will be what you need to be. If you're going to be dealing with darkness, you will be in the dark with things. 1 John 1:5. Now we're going to 1 John because we know that the Gospels and the Hebrew and the Tribulation books just carry right on. Matter of fact, I got an email from our pastor the other day, that guy that's kind of catching what we're doing here in his church, and he said he was reading Hebrews the other day and he said it just clicked. This is just a carryover from the Gospels. So, see, we're not the only ones here that in this entire world that are understanding the risen Savior's teaching. So don't think that's anything unique. I mean, it's unique, but it's not the only. 1 John 1:5, for example. This, then, is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay, look at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Look at chapter 2, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. Verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. So we see that Jesus' teachings are, you can't be both. We know in Peter it talks about, for if they have escaped the pollutions of the world, see, in the tribulation, they will have to escape the pollutions of the world. They will have to be doing right. They won't be able to play a little bit of that and a little bit of this. So, look at Acts 26. You know, you probably got that page probably dirtied by now. We go there so many times. Paul talks about turning a Gentile, anybody willing to trust the living God by their faith in them, will be turned from darkness to light. Now, does that mean that our walk from here on out will always be light? Will it always be clean? Will it always be right? Because if you go to Jesus' teachings in the Gospels, that's what they teach. So here we are, we're dealing with Christians today. A serious Bible believer, kind of a Christian. Even if they're not a Bible believer, but they're a serious Christian, and they've read anything to do with the Sermon on the Mount, then they believe that they have to be, everything has to be just clean, just has to be right. You can't be messing with the darkness. Look at verse 20. Acts 18 talks about from darkness to light, and then verse 20 talks about repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. I believe that that's in order right there. That's in the actual order it needs to take place. They need to repent, of course. They want to get rid of what they're doing. They want to change their lives. They want to live to the living God. Okay, so then they turn to God, and Paul tells you how to turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. I think that's the right order. And what we're having in churches today, we got the wrong order. What's going on in the street is the wrong order. Do works meet for repentance. Change your life and turn to God. That's what you're hearing all the time. So we're getting a mix, again, from this false teachings coming out of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, why is this so important to keep talking about this? Well, maybe somebody out there, this is the first time they've heard this stuff, is part 16. So we just have to go over these things, and we're just exposing a false religion that is huge in America and in the world. So there's 22 and 23 that Jesus taught. You have to be in the light. If you're not in the light, you're in the dark. You can't be in both. That's what he taught. Now, same thing in verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. He goes on and says pretty much the same thing. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, oh, I got something in my left eye. So, we know, again, as serious Bible believers, that we want to do right. We want to learn to do right. We want to stay away from what's wrong. So there's no doubt about that, and Paul preaches that. Of course he does. Romans 12, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. So sure, we're supposed to hate. Abhor is beyond hate of evil. Cleave to that which is good. There's a difference, good and evil. We are told many times to withdraw, to neither give heed, to purge, to reject, be not partakers with, cast off, have no fellowship with, have no company, avoid mark. And all of those are based on Paul's teachings. So yes, we're supposed to separate from these things as much as possible, as much as practical. But see, we don't have to worry about the loss of salvation. We don't have to worry about the loss of blessings. We realize reading Paul that the spiritual blessings we have. Whether you know it or not, whether you've done anything to deserve them or not, we have them. That's something he has given to us spiritually. We don't have to fear God's judgment. There are those that do. But we don't have to do that. So, we still strive to do what's right. But if we're going to go back to the Sermon on the Mount and pull that off, Jesus says, listen, you are either right or wrong. You're either in the light. And if you're in the dark, you're blinded. And you're not going to see anything that needs to take place. You get into the tribulation teachings, you're in the dark, it's history. Your salvation is over, unless, of course, you confess it. And there we go. 1 John 1:9, confess your sins, and there's what we have. There's our modern general Christianity. I've got some notes on the internet that I would suggest that folks would read. I don't think I'll go through them all. It's just something I typed up regarding our attempts at doing right. We homeschool, if we can. And yet we see that even public school, we see that private schools, we see that homeschool curriculums are teaching some darkness more and more and more. We can actually participate as parents, not just as school teachers or whatever. We can actually participate as parents. We can actually be guilty of causing our children to stumble, which is what Paul warns us about. We're not under the law. However, there's some strings attached. Well, We do the same thing for our children. We want to keep our kids from what's wrong. We want to keep them out of the darkness. We can see our kids learn how to feed their own flesh. We can teach them that. We can help our children not be edified properly. We can show our children, we can teach our children how to let a power overtake them, their desires or their lust or whatever as they grow up, to have more power over them than what's right. Those are the things that we're supposed to watch for as a Christian, even though we're not under the law. So there's a darkness we still try to avoid. That's why we do what we do. This is why we actually, why some people home church. And it's happening all over the country. It's a nationwide movement. Unfortunately, the home churches are going down the gospel path. They're getting caught up in the gospels. They're getting caught up in John. They're getting mixed up, and it's not solved. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to do right. We do our best. We want a home play. We want to do our stuff within our family. God gave us a family. That's why we have a family for. You see, there's not supposed to be any darkness. There's not supposed to be any wrong within our homes. So we home play. We have home entertainment. We'd rather entertain we should probably do our entertainment within our family because we are Bible believers. We understand what Paul teaches, and so we can't go anywhere else to do it. So we might as well do it at home, and that's what a family's for. I've got down here home relax. You can't hardly relax anywhere but at home. And it's getting these fingernail biting children obviously don't have any relaxation within their home if that's the way they're doing. You got the high tech stuff, you got the lights blinking all over the house, the computer screen lights, the TV lights, it's all made us neurotic little people in America. We don't know what's gonna happen the next day. And there are those that try to do the home employment. I mean, how much better can you have it? You can do your school at home. You can do your preaching at home. You can do your play at home. You can do your relaxation at home. You can do your work at home. I mean, you're in total control. There ought to be no darkness anywhere within the boundaries of your family. We don't go to places that we know we should stay away from. We don't read things we ought not read. We don't watch with things we ought not watch. We don't listen to things we know we ought not listen to. Some people are willing to give up their church fellowship, their friends, and in some cases their family, so they can stay as clean as possible. Now, that's our desire. That's what we've been taught to do. But we've been taught to do it mostly from the fact that Jesus says, listen, you can't have two masters. You can't do this and you can't do that. You can only have the light. You can't have the dark. And this is what he's teaching. So is that possible? Is that what we're supposed to be doing today? Is that where a lot of our frustration is coming? As Bible-believing Christians. Corinthians, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. You've heard me say that verse 1,000 times. Do we have any of that within our home? Because if we do, we're messing with dark. And according to Jesus' teachings in the Gospels, it's over. Unless you confess it and get rid of it. Well, you ought to get rid of it from a wisdom standpoint, but my point this morning is it what Jesus is teaching? Because you've got darkness in your home is nothing but a home full of darkness. Is it the struggle? The man's not working. Is it the struggle of the woman to keep that house as light, clean as possible? Because it must be. And if we keep our homes and our families that clean, is that a guarantee that our kids will grow up and they'll stay clean? Because, see, that's what we're taught. That's what I've been taught. I don't know if you've been taught that. That's the gist that I see modern Christianity, the serious ones. When we realize that Paul has told us to withdraw and have no company with the void, remember the whole long list, I won't read it again, do we show our children examples of that? Because, see, if we don't, we're bringing darkness in. And then you get a chance to teach your children the same example that you're trying to live, but see, when we don't, are we teaching them darkness? And if we're teaching them darkness, is that go against Jesus' teachings? Without a shadow of a doubt, my kids are going to go sour because I've got darkness in my home, so let's get rid of all the darkness we possibly can. Is that the threat that we have? Look at 1 Peter 4:8. It's almost like I'm going to stand up here this morning and justify why we aren't perfect Christians. Well, according to Jesus' teachings, we need to be. So where's the confusion? Where's the line here that we try to figure this thing out? 1 Peter 4:8. I guess you can go down this road. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity should cover the multitude of sins. I guess you can claim that if you'd like and just ignore things and don't worry about whether it's dark or not. Have charity. But we know that, first of all, 1 Peter 4 is a tribulation book. And yes, in the tribulation, they're going to have charity over everything. Doesn't matter what your neighbors are doing. Doesn't matter what your kids are doing. You've got to stay clean yourself and try to pass that on to your children. Pass that on to your friends and your neighbors. But boy, you better stay clean. So yes, you will have to have charity at all times during the tribulation. Do we have to do that today? No, Paul doesn't say that at all. We've got a Bible that tells us what's right and wrong. We've got grace. Sure, we have charity. But we don't overlook for the influence of our children or the influence of our family, your influence, or for your own personal strength or your own desires to go on and get a little lighter than you possibly can, a little cleaner every day type of thing. It can cause us to stumble. It can cause some problems for it. So yes, the Scriptures still overweight charity. So what are you saying? Well, I'm asking this morning, if Jesus says you've either got light or you've got dark, you can't have two masters. You can't have this one and you can't have this one, because you're going to hate one and love the other. You're going to follow this one and ignore the other one. Despite, you can't do that. That's what he teaches. So as a pastor, do I stand up here, and as a parent, do you stand down there, and as a wife, do you go after him, and as a husband, do you go after her and say, listen, that's not right, and I tell you, it's over. You know? And I get up here and I hammer on the right and the wrong and the TVs and the videos and the stuff we do and all that kind of just hammer. Or do we go back and ignore all that stuff and go back to the doctrinal stuff? Or what do we do? When Jesus teaches, it's either light or dark. You can't have two. Well, what do? You look to Paul. You look at what the risen Savior now teaches that he didn't teach during the gospel time. Remember, Jesus changed some things that were taught by God in the Old Testament. You have heard that, da-da-da-da. Well, but now I'm here. I'm God manifest in the flesh. I know what I'm talking about. And now here's the way it's got to be. Okay, so they kill him. He comes back as a risen Savior through Paul. And he says, okay, that's the way it was in the Old Testament. That's the way it was in the Gospels to the Jews. But to the Gentiles, Paul, I'm going to hand them everything. I'm going to clean them up. I'm going to make them clean on the inside. Spiritual blessings they don't even know they got, unless they read that Bible. And then later on, I'm even going to give them the whole thing written down. And it's different. It's more perfectly. So there must be more to this, because we can't do this. You can try all you want, and I can't do this. I can't stay in light only. Well, you're the pastor. We pay you to. No, you don't. You can't pay me enough to stay clean, because I can't do it. I still got my flesh. I got sinness in the flesh. So what's the deal here? Why would Jesus teach such a thing? What about your friends or acquaintances that you hang around that we don't withdraw from? Are they of the light? Oh, there's a little darkness in there. Hey, listen, some folks got friends that are dark. I mean, they're lost. And unfortunately, their darkness is more fun to be around because they're nice people. These are better friends than those that are light. So what do we do with that one? Are they just blinded? Are they unaware? Are they being rebellious? Well, is that going to rub off on you or your children? How are you going to handle that stuff? Do they have a flattering false gospel? Do they have a tribulation design of overdone charity? Boy, don't we need this King James Bible to keep us straight? To help us understand what's going on amongst everything? Okay, here's one in Timothy. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Okay, how entangled are we in the affairs of this life? We're deeply entangled. Well, we're not really. Yes, we are, if you really think about it. We know so much, and it actually destroys our day. It makes us stressed. I don't want to hear stuff. I just don't like to hear stuff anymore. Do we ignore it? No, you can't ignore it. You can't be an ostrich or whatever that thing is, but how much do we get entangled? How much of that evil communication and those evil Hollywood communistic anti-American God-hating God-lying communicators do we laugh with and give more money? Do we support their philosophy? Because we buy their stuff or we rent their stuff. How much of our family affection is geared on things above not on things on this earth. And how much do our family even know about things above? The reason I home church back in South Dakota was I got tired of being frustrated with the fact that they're not teaching my kids anything I want them to learn. And then it just dawned on me, well, hey, stupid. I'm not going to be able to get to my judgment and say, well, God, well, it's his fault. He didn't teach. God's going to go, excuse me, who is the dad here? It's your job. If nobody's going to do it, you do it. Just happens to be that I still didn't do it right. Frustrating. But that's there. How about being men? How about our jobs? Does your workplace allow you to live the life of a risen Savior? Does your workplace allow you to talk about that? Well, yours does. You know. But some people work in a place where you can't do it. Do you work in a place, is your employment a place where they hate the truth or love the truth? Do they allow you to have the truth and share the truth, as they say? They allow people to share the lies and perversions, but do they allow you to share the truth? More and more don't. So my point again is, Jesus says light or darkness. You can't have two masters. You can't have them both. So what do? Because we can't stay light. We just can't. Don't anybody here say, I know you don't. I know people out there that think they are, though. They only have to confess a couple of minutes, a couple of times a month or whatever, but they can stay pretty clean. They can stay clean enough. No, you can't. It's just not possible. They base the fact that they're clean enough that their physical blessings prove to other people that that's why they're doing so well, because they're clean Christians. And I know. I've heard them. They're everywhere. And some of them aren't arrogant about it. Some of them aren't conceited. They just believe that. Well, we're doing so well. I'm sure God has blessed us. A picture I'll never forget is that after hurricane, whatever those hurricanes down there were, the whole beach was cleared off, but there was one house still sitting right there. Ever seen that picture? It was amazing. And I can just hear. Well, we prayed really hard, you know, and da-da-da-da. Well, these other people didn't pray. These other people didn't turn to God. There must have been at least one other one somewhere that knows about the living God, wouldn't you think? How come his house went down? Maybe because they watch TV at night or something. I don't know, but that's how people think. And I tell you, this rightly divided King James, Paul following teaching will figure this stuff out for people. Let's go to verse 25. Yeah, there's more in the notes along that line. You want to read them, go ahead, you know. It's amazing. I've got these things written down. It's amazing. We can actually watch our children be taught to be so wise they become fools. It's frustrating to see the truth of God changed into a lie in our kids. Can you imagine teaching your children to worship the creature more than the Creator? Can you just even horribly think the possibility that our children could get to the point where God would give them up into vile affection? Our children, right here, out there in the Webb family. Can they get to the point where God would turn them over into vile affections? Can our children become so against God that God would give them over to a reprobate mind someday? Of course. It's happening all over the country. Who are we? Is it because we're trying to stay in the light, 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 dark, light, 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 dark, 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 light, light, dark, dark, dark? Then according to the Lord, we're in trouble. We should stay in the light. Can't have two masters. Hope I didn't belabor that too much. So let's go on. Let's go down to verse 25 and let's see where this thing heads today. If you're already bummed and frustrated, think I'm picking on you and your kids, I'm not. I'm just teaching you what Jesus is taught to the Jews. It's still being taught today, and it's making us miserable, frustrated, scared parents, grandparents, Christians. Verse 25, here we go. Therefore, what do you mean, therefore already? Well, you just got done talking about two masters and the light and the dark. Okay, so with that in mind, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Okay, so what are you worried about? If we just let God direct us and guide us, we will always be in the light, right? So what's so hard about this? Come on, people. We just get up in the morning, okay, God, what would you have me do today? And then just get up and start doing what you think God would have. Wait a minute, I just ruined it. But what you think. No, it's not what you think. God will guide you, correct? That's what he says. Don't worry about the clothes. We'll look in the closet and go, well, whatever. A slap on, I mean, you know. How about the food? You worried about your food? You concerned about what you eat? Well, let's go to these little birdies out there. Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. You ever seen a bird barn? I see birds out there, bird barning out there. Little bird tractors and little bird combines out there going through your yard, you know. Ever seen a little bird out there with a worm collector, little sucker thing, and he's storing them for the winter? All these worms? No. But that's what he's saying. Well, don't listen. I take care of the birds. Yet your heavenly Father, there's a Jewish term again, by the way, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Okay, walk into your kitchen, sit down, guys, and just see what happens. Ladies, the same thing. Kids, go ahead. Just walk up, sit down, and say, okay, where's my food? And God, bird walks up there, I lands out in the grass up there, and these birds that I don't, they have an ear, some little pin ear, and somehow they can hear a worm out of the ground. Well, what is a worm saying? Here I am, here I am. And how does this work? You know, this bird can hear a worm going through the dirt, and he can find them, boom, and he's got it. God provides worms for these guys, and if they don't, they die. It's amazing. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, just for the record here, stature is height, in case you didn't know that. I didn't know that. I was glad to hear that. Because the definition, it's not a reputation, your stature, that can be a definition, but that's not what it is. Or moral or intellectual distinction. No, it's height. It's not girth either, because we can add to that. We can make ourselves rounder and rounder and rounder, but we cannot make ourselves taller. Shoes, that doesn't count. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. You get up in the morning, what's that noise? Oh, that's the lilies. They're out there working this morning. No, you don't hear that stuff. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So there you are. He'll take care of us. Relax. Kick back. Enjoy life. And God will provide. And then you go off to your nice, rich job, and you go to the store and buy all these nice clothes, and life goes on, and you're just giving God all the glory and all this kind of stuff. And then suddenly, it all gets taken away. That's okay. God will take care of us. A couple years later, you know you're $50 million in debt, and your clothes are tatters, and you're starving to death. You've lost some of the girth, but you're still tall as you were. But where's your faith? Oh, no, I lost my job. And this happens some of our weapons. And people are going to hit him up with, where's your faith? Well, God will take care of us. Okay, 2 months, 3 months, 5 months later, no job. You're not the only one. Everybody's standing in the bread line. You've been through all that stuff. Where's God during this thing? Well, it must be because America is such a wicked nation. Must be. Well, what's got to do with America? I'm the one looking for the job, not America. Why is God not taking care of me? Little faith? Okay, pump your faith up for a couple days. Go to a rock church. Go someplace where you have a good time and you worship God and all that stuff and see what happens. Devil may bless you, though. You've got to keep that in mind, right? If you're out there looking for some help and you go up to a Mormon church or these cults or whatever, that you know what they're going to do? Ben, they will help you in a flash. Why? You suck you into their little false church. And there you are. And you think it's of God. So what's the thought here today? Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Really? Is that for us today? Is that written to us today? For one thing, if you just eat anything that's out there, you're being poisoned to death on a physical basis. Don't worry about the clothes. Well, yeah, they're so thin, or they're so short, or they're so or whatever. They're horrible. They're made terribly. They're immodest. They're horrible. You know, the less of theirs, the more they charge, which I've never figured that out. But, oh, well, that's just the way we are. So, if we're not going to worry about all this stuff, do we just build a wall around our house and let's just not worry about anything that's out in this world? Will God just put it together for us? Do we think that we're just going to pray all that stuff coming in there? Live that clean life and God will provide all this stuff that we need? Is God going to show us in our heart, through our feelings? Circumstances? And is it all? Is God just going to take care of us as our country's falling apart? And where are we at with this stuff? What about, back in your days again, where was God during all that?
He
was watching. Why didn't he drop a few raindrops down there in Oklahoma? It wouldn't have been hard for him to go, well, okay. Instead, he takes your dirt and moves it over to New York. And he didn't care who's in the way. Was that what that was? Was it judgment on America? Boy, America was a cleaner nation morally than we are today. And America was caught in two world wars, and thousands and thousands and thousands of young people went off to war and never saw them again. I mean, just dastardly stuff that went on. Tortured and burnt and fried and open up the front door of the boat and everybody in the boat's instantly killed and you jump off the boat and you go down 50 feet down in the water and all that kind of stuff. Where was God for all these things? And people think, well, God's mad at America today now? And was he mad then? Is this something's going wrong here? Is it just false teachings? Was America not all light? Was it a darkness? Well, I say it was sure a lot lighter then than it is today. The closets were full in those days. They're out in the open today. So what do we do? Look at Luke chapter 12. What's going on here with this teaching about Jesus said it's got to be light or it's got to be dark. You can't have two masters. Are we really not to take any thought about these things in our life? Okay, I know what I want to do. Somebody's got to give me $100,000 so I can do it. I mean, that just gives me peace and comfort. A little change left over. I know what I'd like to do. Well, why don't you just have a little faith and go do it? Well, it's called health. It's called money. It's called practicality. What's it called? Why don't you just go do it? God will take care of you. Where's your faith, brother? I know so many missionaries and pastors that are so far in debt with medical expenses and sicknesses and things that took place, and they stepped out on faith, as they said, and it is a disaster. What happened? And they were good people. I mean, it's not that they were just finaglers. Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Here's what Jesus told them to do back in those days. Don't forget this. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupt. So we know that. But that first little phrase there, sell that you have. Is that what it says? Sell? I thought I had all, but sell that you have. Okay, what have you got? Get rid of it. You want to go do what you want to do? Get rid of everything you got. Well, wait a minute, because I know a lot of people who did give away everything they got, sold everything they got, and they went out there and they just died. I mean, what happened here? Is this where God is at? Is that what we're told today? Well, we do know that the televangelists and a lot of pastors do tell, give it all. Yeah, but they're not, unfortunately, they're not giving it to God. They're giving it to that guy. But look at verse 32, Luke chapter 12. It goes back to Matthew. Matthew 6. Go back to Matthew 6. Sorry. Matthew 6, 32 here. So, if you want God's blessings today, should you sell it all? Is this why, you know, when you think about it, we do have too much stuff, don't we? Look at our kids. They got too much stuff. And we all say that. But if we pull it away and yank it away, there'd be a little bitterness there, wouldn't there? Well, when I was a child, Grandpa and Grandma coming over, put all the toys away, get out one. that wouldn't solve anything. We used to think it would solve everything, but it just makes them bitter and angry and all that kind of, because they don't understand. So, wouldn't hurt us to get rid of our stuff either. I think some of you have even said, Boy, we could use a good depression. Really? You think it would teach us anything? It would probably teach us something. I'm not sure we could deal with it like you folks could have when you did it. I don't think we got the stuff to do it. I don't. I'm not into standing in a bread line for 10 hours for an apple. I'm just not. So what's going on here? How can Jesus say these things? And what is it to us? Look at verse 32. Now this, to me, this is one of the most important verses this morning that we've got. Because that little parenthesis right here. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Boy, there's a huge thing right there. Jesus is telling this stuff to who? To the Jews. Which we know that, but how many people don't know that? And then he says right there, all this stuff you're worried about, that's what the Gentiles do. That's their problem. I'll take care of you. You're my Jews. I'll take care of you folks. I take care of the birds and stuff, and you're more important. I'll take care of you. And he would have. But that thing about the Gentiles there, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You know what we are? We're a saved Gentile. We're a church of God. We're a Christian now, but we still got that Gentile in us. Our nature is what? Things. I mean, that is a huge slap in the face right there to us. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You know those Gentiles, those dogs. They're out there wondering what they're going to eat. They're going to do whatever they can to to get what they want. That's what Gentiles do. That is our nature, is that we have got to have these things. But if we try to follow Jesus' teachings, we'll fight it. We don't need that. We don't need that. We can't have this. Too nice a house. You gotta drive in a crummy car. You're a Christian. You gotta take care of us. And gotta keep the oil in it and all this kind of stuff. Why don't you just go get the oil changed? Why don't you? That's me. I know. Why don't you just go get a job? Why don't you get a job and you can, you know, that kind of a thing. Look at Luke chapter 12. Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 29. See, here we go. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your father, that's Jewish, your father knoweth that ye have need of these things. I know what you need. I'll take care of you. That's a father. I know what you need. I'll take care of you. That's somebody who cares for somebody else. I know what you need, and I'll take care of you. So you can sit around and wait for Father to take care of you all of your life, or you can free people, or whatever. Is that what we're supposed to do? And I like that even that little spot there where it says, neither be ye of doubtful mind. So not only do we worry about what we drink and eat and clothe and stuff, he says even that we have a doubtful mind. That's a nature thing for us. We are as a Gentile, we have our doubts. Reading your King James Bible, you run across a conflict. How many of your first thoughts are, I wonder if that isn't a mistake? You haven't got that figured out by now? It is not a mistake. I don't understand why this says this and this says this. I wonder, okay, this is what it's supposed to say. This is what it's supposed to say. You have no doubt that's what it's supposed to say. Now, figure it out. And you get rid of that doubt, that thing's figure outable. But if you leave the doubt up there, you just can't quite figure it out. Why do we have such doubt? Look at 2 Timothy. God takes care of His people, the Jews. Well, are we not His people today? We're not the Jews. There's no reason for us to be going back to the Gospels to learn what it is that He taught to the Jews, saying, well, now that we're a spiritual Jew, this is what He's teaching to us. So that I need to not have two masters. Listen, don't you work? Man, you got a job. You know what you have? You have two masters. Jimmy, you've got Smokey. He is your boss. And if Smokey tells you to do something, you know what you need to do? You need to do it. What if he tells you to do it on Sunday? Do it on Sunday. That's what Smokey says he has to do. Now, he can quit his job and his folks can go out there and eat grass with the horses, his kids if he wants and all that stuff. But is there a problem here? Well, now we brought that one up, and I know I'm not going to get done today. How do you solve that problem? Well, he never tells us anything about Sunday. He missed the meals, but they're available. And you see? Yet if you go back to the gospel teachings, whoa, you know, let the bear be your boss anyway, I mean. Well, Lewis, who's your boss? No. Only when he comes home. But during the day, and if it wasn't for his other boss, you wouldn't have the ability to be his boss, Sue. Your cows are your boss. How about my boss man? No, his boss man's run by these cows. Your boss are those cows. Now, here we go. Louis' boss. I know. Sam. Or what? No, it's the crop. It's Who's Marcy's boss? Louis? No, the crops. Because if the crops don't grow, Louis doesn't have the money, Marcy doesn't get this, and then Livy, who's your boss? Doesn't matter. Life's going to be horrible. Is that okay? Is God falling down on the job these days? Is it God's judgment? Because the only thing people say today, well, that's God's judgment. Is God's judgment coming down on America again? Is that what's going on out there? Well, there's stuff out there about God's judgment today. It's amazing. So we see here, 2 Timothy 3. Here's what's going on. If the Gentiles are seeking those things, you know what? This would be a really good place to just stop this thing and continue on right there. That's where we'll stop for Sunday school. We'll take a break and we'll come back down and we'll just continue this morning. That's a good place right there.